Thank you for helping us make Budget Again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for more than 2.5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to standing with you again in 2011. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. It's Thursday afternoon, January the 20th. Joining us to talk about media coverage of religion. I wonder if it's improved. I mean, people have been looking at this for a long time. And over the course of the last decade, it is undeniable that the cost of putting things into print has become prohibitive. Newspapers, big newspapers, newspapers nobody thought would go away, have gone away. Even the big ones that have stuck around get smaller and smaller and thinner and thinner. What suffers? Well, things that are not the highest priority in the journalistic pantheon of priorities, and perhaps among them, the coverage of matters of religion. Terry Mattingly is founder and editor of GetReligion.org. He's director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is here as well. She's contributor to GetReligion.org and a columnist for Christianity Today magazine. Hi, Molly.
Hello.
Terry, you've been looking at this in earnest and then actually writing about this in earnest for the better part of a decade. In that time, has the media's coverage of religion improved?
Well, I think it's changed. You mentioned, you know, in your intro the degree to which the industry has kind of been battered a bit, and the fact that when large newspapers, the kinds of newspapers that usually have the money for specialty beats like religion, when they get hit especially hard, the first thing that happens is you tend to see beats get cut that editors are not either big fans of or they even feel slightly uncomfortable with. And religion has always fit into that category. At Get Religion, we like to say that, you know, religion's the kind of beat that gives editors sweaty palms. You know, they just don't feel comfortable with it. So there have been financial cutbacks, but I think there's another trend we need to discuss. And for us, this is all kind of an important day in that we just hit our 6,000th post today, you know, in the history of Get Religion. So in coming up on 7 years in just a week or two, we've done 6,000 articles at Get Religion, which is an awful lot of cyber ink and an awful lot of criticism. I think what's just as important as the fact that some newspapers have lost the religion beat is that religion news is starting to, I believe, increasingly to slide over into the world of opinion. The people that have picked it up have been like Politics Daily, Huffington Post, the On Faith site at the Washington Post is mostly opinion. The religion news sector is beginning to grow within it just a bit. There's a hint of hope there. But it's mainly opinion, and this is kind of depressing to me. The fact that what they seem to be saying is that religion isn't a beat where there are a lot of facts, like history or doctrines or concrete things. It's kind of a beat where people feel things. It's just all opinion. And
I think
that's the big trend for me. It's kind of depressing.
Yeah, those two things actually go together, too, because it's much easier to just opine on something than to do the heavy work of reporting on how religion plays a role in a given story. Much easier to just sort of throw off a casual opinion. It doesn't require much work. And so as the newspapers you know, compress and as they drop beats and whatnot, it naturally goes with this increase in opining. So they work together in trouble.
Yeah. Molly, you've actually been covering religion as a journalist for quite some time. I wonder, what is the, in your opinion, as someone who covers it actively, what is the biggest thing that the average print journalist, or we just expand it to all the media, miss about the significance of religion in news?
Well, I think it, you know, Terry kind of touched on it. It's just people feel weird about covering it. It's such a touchy issue. If you do anything even slightly wrong, people get very hurt and offended. And so sometimes people, I think, just shy away from it. Now, I do think that as we're, you know, hitting on our 6,000th blog post here, that we've seen that it's unavoidable now. I mean, there's no way you can avoid confronting the reality that religion plays a huge role in so many stories and so many of the biggest stories of each year. You look at it and it's like, well, religion is a major player in these. There's less divide between the top religion stories of the year and the top stories of the year than I think, you know, you might have seen in past years. But I do think that reporters are just hesitant. It's not part of many reporters' day-to-day life or conversation. It might be a little bit different than the average public in that regard, and so it's not something that they think of when they have a story come across their desk. They don't naturally think of how religion plays a role.
Yeah, Molly. You know, here's an interesting thing about that. I agree with you that the last couple of presidential campaigns, obviously with as much fighting as we've had post 9/11 and in the Middle East, that the religion stories have become undeniable. Except, you know what? 2 points. People still find a way to deny them. I mean, you know, it's very easy to say that Iraq is about tribalism and it's about money and oil. And we still, one of the things we've watched for through the years is anybody ever going to do a story that explains the differences between Sunni and Shia Islam, which is obviously a critical factor in Iraq. Yet I don't think outside of the New Republic I've ever seen a story about that. The second thing I would note is that when I first became a professional religion writer back in 1979, which was, I think, when I joined the Religion News Writers Association, I had a long conversation with the late George Cornell, who was the dean of the Religion News Press and the chief religion reporter for the Associated Press. And already at that time, George was noting that every year that he had ever looked at the Associated Press top 10 news stories of the year, he had never seen the number of blatant religion hook news items fall below 5. And that year after year, it would consistently push past 5. You know, things were to really cover a story well, you had to research the religion element. And folks, that's right at the start of the religious right era. That's right. I mean, people on TV are still talking about Jimmy Carter being born again and trying to explain what born again means to a nation that is 45% born again. It's a really big blind spot, has been for a long time.
I guess what I'm wondering, Terry, is you have often explained this in terms of kind of the native religion or the default religion of the average journalist is not Roman Catholicism, it isn't Protestantism, it isn't being Jewish, although they may come from those kind of backgrounds. You say, for most journalists, politics is their religion.
Yeah, because if you're going to change the real world, you have to use something that's real. And politics and money and budgets and capital buildings and all that stuff that is so central to how journalists in our culture view the real world, that's what you're going to emphasize. And when you talk about religion to them, religion to some degree isn't the real world. It's harder to describe in terms of factual material, especially if you don't happen to know the factual material. I think it was years ago Bill Moyers told me something that for most journalists, they're tone deaf to religion. And what he said, the musical image is that they just can't hear why this is so powerful. They don't get the music. They don't get the emotional side. They're covering a meeting, and two sides are arguing about something, and then some guy gets up and gives a speech full of all kinds of either biblical references or historical references or almost poetic references to the group's theology. And all of a sudden, people are sitting in their chairs crying. And there's reconciliation, or the war gets worse. And the journalists are sitting there going, what did everybody say? What just happened? They don't hear the music.
And conversely, I think that they're so tuned into politics that they force everything into their previous political conception. So it's like a double whammy on that front. They're blind to this other side, but they're overly sensitive to political language, and sometimes they hear politics when politics isn't even in play.
Molly, I wonder about I don't think we've ever discussed this. Do you detect a difference on how the journalistic community covers the religious left as opposed to how it covers the religious right?
Well, I mean, let me first say that the much more important thing, I think, is that they cover the religious left, if you want to use that term, and the religious right, and they don't cover religious traditions that don't fit into one of those two groups. So if you are a religious group that doesn't think that the most important thing you can do that day is lobby for H.R. 1071 or whatever the, you know, bill of the moment is, or if you don't think that the only thing that really matters about what Jesus said is how it affects your political voting, you're not likely to get covered by the media. You're much more likely to get covered if you're on the left or on the right. I think that, in general, the media would be probably a little friendlier to people that they tend to agree with, and you know, it's pretty well established that that would be groups on the left. I think that there's much less hostility toward the religious left, and then on the other hand, there's much less interest in them as well. So the media, I think, like to make the religious right be a boogeyman, and so they'll cover them more than the religious left. And that's one of the things that we've commented on over the years, is that it's much harder for the religious left to just get flat-out media coverage.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, I'll get Terry's response to the same question. We're talking about media coverage of religion. Terry Mattingly, founder and editor of GetReligion.org, director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. And Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, a contributor to GetReligion.org and a columnist for Christianity Today magazine. We'll be right back. Thank you for helping us make Budget Again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for more than 2.5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to standing with you again in 2011. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues, etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
No weather reports necessary. We broadcast to the world. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway and Terry Mattingly about media coverage of religion on this Thursday afternoon, January the 20th. Terry, I want you to pick up where we left off. I had asked Molly the question about whether she saw a difference between how the media covers religious left versus religious right. Your thoughts there?
Well, first of all, there's one thing you have to remember. The religious left, which by that we mean mostly the mainline Protestant churches, say liberal elements of Catholicism, Reform Judaism, kind of the whole Georgetown University Muslim crowd, that sort of thing, they're not the religious left. In the eyes of most journalists, they're the religious middle. They're actually, remember, they're moderates. If you search for religious left and religious right in Google, you'll find like 8 million hits for one and like 8,000 for the other. And this works at times to the disadvantage of the religious left, is that they don't have anything new to say because what they're saying is kind of journalistically normal, right? So they don't stick out like a news story, like a nail that needs to be knocked back down. They're kind of talking politics and talking about the world the way that the press already kind of tends to see it. The other thing, and I've had African-American pastors mention this to me through the years, and I've heard it from more theologically liberal people as well. Once you become politically active, it's like the press will never let you talk about your faith again. I've heard so many black church leaders through the years say, why don't they ever cover us like we're a church? They only cover us like we're a force when an election comes up. You know, then they seek our opinions. Nobody seems to take me seriously as a pastor. I've heard the same thing from, you know, priests in the Episcopal Church and folks in other mainline denominations. Once you start talking politics, it's like that's the only thing people will let you talk about. At the Pew Forum, that incredible think tank that does so much important polling and data research here in Washington, D.C., I've had conversations with one of their main pollsters, John Green, saying that they're in urgent need of doing a follow-up poll in which they ask basic doctrinal questions, not political questions, doctrinal questions across the religious landscape from left to right. And I think it would help if reporters and other people who watch the scene realized where the religious differences were between these groups, not the differences that are automatically framed in terms of the ballot box.
Terry, it's somewhat in that vein. I'm not sure about the U.S. statistics, but I do know that fully half of all Christians in the world are Roman Catholic. It's just the numbers.
Yeah.
You have said many times, and this is hard to ignore in the American journalistic context, you have said many times that the media just uses that word Roman Catholic as though it means always the same thing. They don't ever tease it apart, and therefore they often fail to understand the term itself. What do you mean?
Well, I'm not sure they understand that the Catholic Church is not just a giant bureaucracy. I mean, that the Pope isn't just like an elected leader of a democratic institution with a big building in Rome, and thus he's kind of a political leader. I mean, the Pope obviously takes political implications into things, but he's not standing up there preaching day after day after day, attempting to deliver political speeches. Molly was right on a while ago when she said there's this tendency to go to a religious event, and the two sentences that most equate to politics are automatically the lead. That's absolutely true. When you actually talk to Catholics around the world, and I write a lot of columns for Scripps Howard about trends in Catholicism, and always, without exception, the ones I get the most response to are on the highly emotional and at times even politicized, but still, the issues of church life, worship changes, architectural changes, changes in whether Catholic priests can preach their way out of a paper bag, to use an old Southern term. They really care about the religious aspects of their church. Meanwhile, the Roman Catholic Church otherwise tends to just be looked at, once again, like a giant political institution. And that's tragic.
Molly, I'm going to pose this question to both of you. You first. What is your best piece of advice that you could give to a journalist, to journalists, about covering religion?
I think that we touched on this, how there's all this anxiety about covering religion. And I think that this is just very simple advice, but it works really well. Just quote people more. Let other people describe their doctrine and practice themselves. And it enables you to get more flavor into a story. It enables you to you avoid some of the landmines when you're trying to characterize something, and you might be imprecise or whatnot. Talking to people, talking to a wide variety of people, and letting them just articulate their own views, concerns, and whatnot in their own language would really go far. I think it's very simple.
Same question to you, Terry.
Well, I'd put one line in the 6,000th post today that I really meant. I think we need to try to understand that from the viewpoint of a journalist who hasn't trained to cover religion, the beat is astonishingly complex and difficult. When I finished my years covering religion at the Rocky Mountain News in Denver, may it rest tragically in peace, I had individual folders on like 150 to 160 religious groups, denominations, and movements just in Denver. Just in Denver and wider Colorado. It's an unbelievably complicated beat. The first thing I would do is to tell them that there are facts out there and you need to learn some of them. Learn about the different branches of Judaism today. You obviously have to have a working knowledge of some things within Islam, or you have to know who the people are that can brief you. And among Christianity, I think you simply have to realize that these groups, even within denominations, people don't believe the same things. And you must very carefully get them to spell out the specifics. One great place to start is with an excellent book by the scholar Stephen Prothero called God is Not One, in which he argues that one of the big things in our world today is to try to pretend that all religions should just get along, that there aren't real differences between them. And he ends up saying that that's just stupid. It's just uninformed. And in a way, it's even offensive to religious believers. I mean, people who say Christianity's understanding of God is just the same as Islam's if they would all just get along. Well, folks, that's just inaccurate. I mean, that's an insult to Muslims to say that. I mean, there's a reason that the Dome of the Rock has carved over its door something, the exact words I can't quote, but it's basically, blessed is Allah who has not taken a son. And by that, that's a shot at the Christian Trinity right there. I mean, that, you know, that the Christian understanding of God is fundamentally different. Well, reporters need to know that that's true. And second, they need to know that to cover this subject, they must get control of the facts and then be able to pursue with questions. And like Molly said, when in doubt, let religious believers speak for themselves and then let other people debate with them.
Terry, we've only got about 30 seconds. What is Get Religion? Why did you start it? And what are your hopes for the future? In 30 seconds, Terry.
Okay. Our motto is that journalists can't understand how the world really works unless they take religion seriously. We still believe that. We still believe that there's a lot of good journalism. There's a lot of inaccurate journalism, but we would like to tell your listeners to get involved with the press as much as possible, and always remember this: journalism will be improved for the better by people who love it, not by people who hate it. So be positive when you can.
Terry Mattingly is founder and editor of GetReligion.org, director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, and he writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. Terry, thank you very much.
You betcha.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a contributor to GetReligion.org and a columnist for Christianity Today magazine. Molly, it's always a pleasure. Keep up the good work.
Thanks so much.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the social impact of 38 years of legalized abortion on demand in the U.S. Dr. Frank Beckwith of Baylor University will be our guest. Also tomorrow, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, as we always do. Fridays here on Issues Etc. Monday, we'll begin a five-part series on the Crusades, the real Crusades. It's very complex and actually, in terms of history, very long. Dr. Matt Phillips of Concordia University, Nebraska will be our guest. That's Monday on Issues Etc. We'll be talking the Crusades, beginning a five-part series. You know, I think maybe it might also start in the J schools, where young people are going. They are bright-eyed. They are hopeful. They are ready to go out and conquer the world and change the world through the art and the craft of journalism. Maybe, just maybe, a simple and very objective course on comparative religions, one that actually makes the distinctions between them, so that when they go out and they encounter religion in their actual reporting and the stories that they're actually covering, they don't look at it like, well, old, the reformer Martin Luther used to say, like a cow looking at a new fence. They actually can begin to understand what it is they're seeing and hearing and witnessing. Then, with that understanding, they can actually have the courage and the wherewithal to write accurately about it. Just a little education. Might even call it catechesis. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow, and thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.